Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. This week, the Golden State debate. Harry brings the case against his best friend, Dan. He and Dan grew up together in New York State, but Harry took off after college to try and make it in L.A. Harry thinks Dan should shake things up and join him. Their mutual friend, Sammy, says it makes more sense for Dan to stay put. Dan says he can see advantages to both. So, who is right? Only one man can decide. Please rise. As Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom.
Dan, you gotta go. Please, please, there's no time. Don't worry about us. We'll be all right.
Get out of here! Can't you see we don't want you anymore? Why can't you go back to where you come from? Leave us alone! Go! Oh, Jesse Tretherman!
Please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God or whatever?
I do.
Yep.
Whatever, yes, yes.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that he left his hometown, then later returned to buy it all?
I do.
Yes. Yes.
Very well. Judge Hodgman?
I'm prepared to make a summary judgment in favor of the person who can name the piece of culture that I was very poorly performing as I walked into the courtroom.
Was that Free Willy?
Nice, but no.
I was going to defer to Harry on this.
I'm
question.
Sorry, what did you say? Know. What did you say? You were going to defer to what?
I was going to defer to Harry
to
on this.
To
I
Harry,
thought he might get it.
To Harry, just Harry, or also Harry and the Hendersons?
There.
Aha.
Oh, damn. No, I wasn't trying to guess. No, I was just saying that.
I see. Well, you would have guessed correctly, Dan.
I see. Curses.
You see? You are someone who cannot make up his mind about where to live, I understand.
That's correct.
And your friends feel that they know better than you terms of whether or not you are to stay in your hometown of White Plains or potentially move to Los Angeles to live and make Harry's life less lonely. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yes, they've started litigation.
Excuse me, Harry. I'm talking to Dan now. I'm sorry.
You got it.
Dan, I apologize.
That's all right, Judge.
Harry is a pushy person, isn't he?
Yes.
I understand. I can see. Free Willy, indeed. This is an unusual case for the court of Judge John Hodgman. We have three. Essentially, it is a custody battle. We have two people vying for the custody of your friendship, Dan. And so I am going to sit you over in a sad little corner. Are you adjusting? Who's adjusting his microphone now?
That was Harry.
It's Harry.
What?
Harry. I'm going to warn you one more time, sir. No more outbursts. No more futzing with your microphone. Do you understand?
You got it.
If you want,
hands in the air.
If you want custody of your friend, you're going to follow the rules of this court. Dan, will you please take your seat in the sad, tiny little chair over in the corner there, please, while we discuss your fate?
Very good.
So it comes to Harry and Sammy, two people who presumably have names that do not make them sound like members of the Rat Pack. What is your actual name, Harry?
My actual name is Harry.
Oh, it is. So that's your given name?
Yes. It's my given name. It's not short for anything.
All right. Very well. It's acceptable. Sammy?
Thank you.
I'm Samantha, technically.
All right. Technically Samantha. Very well. Samantha, yeah. You are representing the side of White Plains, New York, where the three of you grew up together. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And Harry, you are representing Los Angeles, the debauched, exotic city that you moved to in order to put the dust of White Plains far behind you and make a new life for yourself as a microphone futzer and Free Willy fan. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct.
All right. You want Dan to join you? Why?
I want Dan to join me because I think that his time in White Plains has come to an end. He's done all that he's going to do there, and it's time for him to move on to the next phase of his life and do new, exciting things in a new place.
Okay, but don't you think that's Dan's decision to make?
I don't, no.
Why so?
I've known Dan now for about 14 years.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 25.
Okay.
Dan is a really smart, awesome, thoughtful person, but he can also be very wishy-washy and needs a little bit of help getting himself pushed in the right direction.
What should he be doing that he is not doing now?
That part is up to Dan. He's done a lot of really interesting creative things. He does some writing and he's done some producing of short films our friends have made. And he put together with Sammy an awesome zine that combined the writings of a bunch of different friends of ours. And since in a little while, he hasn't done any of them.
I'm sorry, when did he make this zine?
He made a series of them over the course of the last year or so with Sammy.
I see. And did something happen? Did I fall down and hurt my head and wake up in 1993?
Punk lives.
Well, punk certainly lives, but zines don't. Do they?
Zines live. Oh, zines live.
They do live.
Oh, okay. Okay, everyone, just relax.
Passed from grubby hand to grubby
Jesse,
hand.
Jesse!
Shut your pie holes!
Please set up the crossbows around my bench. I fear a courtroom mutiny. I apologize. Look, I used to subscribe to Fact Sheet 5. Okay, guys, I'm with you on the zines. Just didn't know this was still a thing that young people are doing. You like listening to cassette tapes too?
No, nobody listens to cassette tapes.
That's not true, actually.
Yeah, our friend just released her album on a cassette.
Yeah,
there's like, her album on a cassette.
It's like a hipster thing. It's like because it's an obsolete product, so people are into it.
So, Los Angeles, seems like you're a little bit behind the times. Don't you know that White Plains is down with the cassette tape movement? Don't you understand that it is the cultural center of Westchester County? Sammy.
It's the county seat. That's true. It is the county seat.
You know what? I heard it from Sammy, okay? Free Willy, just relax. We need your backup on everything.
All right.
I know that you're the smart one who left town.
That's right.
Right? But we've established already that even you don't know about cassette tape culture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't need to hear from Los Angeles about the county seat of Westchester County. Okay,
you got it.
It's time for the hometown to speak.
I'm arguing for White Plains, but I'm also arguing for New York, which is very close to White Plains, where we spend a lot of our time. So New York clearly wins everything.
Well, wait a minute. Now you may think that you're buttering me up because I live in New York City. But I don't necessarily believe that New York is the right place for everyone. And lots of times I encourage people to go to Los Angeles.
Well, I think New York is the right place for Dan.
I mean, in terms of big cities for people to go to pursue the arts, I think it really depends on people's sensibilities and what they're pursuing and what they're into. More to the point, are you suggesting that Dan move to New York?
I think the eventual plan for Dan and myself was sort of to get jobs in New York City and eventually move out of our parents' houses and move to New York. I don't think the plan is to stay in White Plains that much longer.
You also want to pile a huge stack of zines throughout White Plains and set them on fire and burn the whole thing down.
Well, no, I didn't say that.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't want to reveal your plans.
What am I trying to say? Why New York is better than LA?
No. I need you to make a different argument because how old are you?
I'm 22.
You're 22. Okay. And Dan, you're 25?
25.
Okay. And what is your relationship to Dan, Sammy?
Best friend.
Best friend?
I have up to like 4 or 5. Both of you two are official best friends.
Thanks.
I just wanted to settle that before the judge did.
This is turning into a punk rock zine culture rom-com in front of my very eyes.
Dream come true.
Sammy, you are not dating Dan, is that correct?
No, we are not dating.
We're heterosexual best friends.
Okay, well, so
when my parents are listening and when Dan's parents are listening to this, we're still not dating.
Yes.
Oh, but your respective parents agree with me that you guys are destined to get together.
Yeah, so does everybody in the world, and it's frustrating.
Yeah,
it's true.
You know, we're really just friends. We've talked about how we're really friends many times. We're really not interested in dating.
Sure. No, I...
Each other. Yeah. We're interested in dating other people.
This is
We are dating other people.
Yeah. This is literally the Gen Z reboot of When Harry Met Sally in the making, going on right now. You two are planning to move to New York together, but you're just going to be friends. And the next thing you know, 20 years later, you're dragging a Christmas tree down the street to the sound of what's a band you like?
Our favorite band is called Old Table.
Oh my God. Yes.
Old Table?
Yes.
All right. Now listen, children. Stop laughing at your own in-jokes and explain to me. Is this really your actual band?
Yeah, it's our friend's band.
It's your friend's band? Oh, you're buzz marketing your friend's band.
It's our favorite band.
Yeah, they're also our favorite band.
And so the next thing you know, it'll be New Year's Eve 20 years from now, and you guys are going to be kissing to the sound of Old Table. And
yes.
Billy Crystal will make a cameo as one of your grandmothers.
Hey, gang, Jesse here. We'll return to the courtroom in a moment, but first, credit where credit is due. You're listening to Judge John Hodgman. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. Of course, the Judge John Hodgman podcast, always brought to you by you, the members of MaximumFun.org. Thanks to everybody who's gone to MaximumFun.org/join, and you can join them by going to MaximumFun.org/join. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace Blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right, I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In, because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton, or one of her restaurants. And not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting Made In cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
This isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff, and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10. Guys, you've got this plan to move to New York, but the plan has not happened.
Nope.
Why not?
Okay. We can't move until we have jobs, or at least, you know, some semblance of jobs. Mm-hmm. And Dan, for a while, was working as a paralegal in Westchester, mm-hmm. and then that stopped working out, and we were both looking for jobs in the city, and now I am gainfully employed in White Plains.
Mm-hmm. It's very excellent.
it's very gainful. I'm working at Planned Parenthood. I'm like an adult.
Congratulations.
Thanks, yeah. Guys. But the point
it's
is,
it's very
would
new.
You guys, would you like me to step out for a minute, guys?
No, okay. I want to keep talking.
Yeah.
I mean, it okay, seems the seems point like is,
you guys are having a little, Harry's in there being Bruno Kirby to your Meg Ryan and Billy no. Crystal. Sammy.
Yes.
You are gainfully employed at Planned Parenthood in White Plains currently?
In Hawthorne, yes. Like a few minutes from White Plains.
Okay. And what is it that you would want to do in New York City?
Well, my plans to move to New York are sort of on hold now that I got this job.
Right.
But Dan has not gotten a job. Dan's been applying for a lot of jobs, mostly paralegal positions in New York and around New York. Mm-hmm. And nothing has materialized. And he's not, like we sort of were saying, he's into the arts. He's not looking for any arts or writing jobs the way that Harry is in L.A.
Well,
he's looking for legal, boring business jobs.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to speak for Dan and tell me what Dan's plans are in his life and what his dreams are. But I'm going to ask Dan that very question in a moment. But right now I'm going to ask you, are you going to work at Planned Parenthood for the rest of your life? You're going to work there for 40 years and then get a gold watch at the end?
I don't know. No. I don't think so. Well, I don't know. I'm a kid. I can't plan ahead like that. But
right.
I don't know.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you right now, that's not going to happen because Mitt Romney.
Right. It's not going to happen.
President Romney is going to get rid of that parasitic
yeah,
organization.
First thing. No, second yeah. thing. He's yeah. going to get rid of that. Yeah.
And second of all, you must have some dream beyond that, unless that is your dream. So, Sammy, you and Dan, a couple of non-lovers moving to New York City, you've got to have a dream. What is the dream? What is the dream, Sammy?
Well, my dream?
Yeah.
Well, my dream, I don't know. This job is pretty close to a dream job, but
That's a difference between a dream and a dream job.
Well, my dream is to continue doing this type of activist work and, you know, forever.
So why would you want to move to New York City?
Well, because New York is where it's at. New York is where my I'm somebody that just said New York is where it's at.
Where it's at.
Yeah. No, that's what kids are saying now.
Me and Dan have been involved in a couple of feminist coalitions and other activist groups mm-hmm. that are centered in New York
okay.
City. So, you know, I plan on, even though I'm working in Westchester, I will be spending a lot of time in the city in the foreseeable future. And I think Dan plans on doing that as well.
Dan, do you have free will or are you the homunculus plaything of your two best friends / lovers?
I suppose something in between.
That is a very self-abnegating thing to say. Do you have a dream of your own?
Well, as Sammy said, I would like to work for a law firm that does good work. Like I've tried to work at the ACLU and like Lambda, but having failed to get a job as Sammy has, I have resorted to looking for regular depressing jobs. In offices with cubicles.
Mm-hmm.
I was at three temp agencies in Midtown today. So I'm not sure about free will as well because of that.
So you also would like to be work in activism in some way, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a dream, as you mentioned, working for a nonprofit or something that could assure me that I am doing something that is partially good.
Okay. You'll grow out of that eventually, but that's good to know yeah. right now. That's fine.
Sure.
But you do not, when you say you want to work at a law firm, you do not want to be an attorney.
I don't want to go to school. I was a spectacularly poor student.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the headset that I'm using 10 minutes before this recording. Mm-hmm. And that was the attitude that I had towards school assignments as well. consistently, if I did them at all. So I don't want to go back to school and be a lawyer.
Okay. So you would not clarify yourself as a dedicated student?
No.
All right.
Dan, would you say that one of your career goals is to be one of the male characters on the show Girls?
I suppose so. I haven't watched it yet. I've been meaning to. Sammy and Harry both have been telling me to constantly. I finally started Mad Men again yesterday on their advice.
And so what do you do with your time in White Plains these days? What do you do during the day and how much of the day do you spend on the porch smelling paste and and smell and smelling compressed air that you use to clean computers. Like, what are you doing with your time?
I've been lucky enough this month that my unemployment has coincided with the European soccer tournament. I was writing when I was working, and now that I'm not working, I'm not writing anything either, which is, so mainly I, hang out with my friends, I think.
Are you secretly reverse psychology campaigning for the Mitt Romney presidency? Because you are kind of Mitt Romney's, like, you are the villain in the Mitt Romney story. You're a young person collecting unemployment who vaguely aspires to work for a nonprofit who is in an uncategorizable, maybe love affair, polyamorous, weird cuddle puddle with a woman who wants to work for Planned Parenthood, and a dude who's living in Los Angeles, and you're spending your time watching European soccer. You're the worst. Do you want anything? Do you want to move to LA? Do you want to move to New York? Are you aware of your surroundings now, sir? Do you know where you are?
I'm on the floor. I'm lying on the floor.
In a lot of ways.
My chair was creaking so much. I'm sitting on the floor.
Do you live at home with your parents?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And Sammy,
but I do that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Sammy, you do as well. Okay.
I do.
All right. Let's give Harry some time because he's been very quiet for a while. Harry.
Yes.
What do you do out there in LA?
I'm a writer.
And what kind of writer?
An aspiring television writer. And in the meantime, a blogger.
Are you going to succeed?
Fingers crossed.
You got to LA, didn't you?
Yes. And I worked very, very hard.
And, did you take a lot of handouts from your mom and dad to get there?
Yeah, they helped me a lot. Since coming out here, I've supported myself with jobs and occasionally collecting unemployment between jobs. But I'm not going to pretend that my parents haven't helped me out tremendously.
Yeah, you know, that's fine. I'm not casting aspersions. But you're out there, you're working. What kind of jobs are you working?
Usually, I work as a production assistant on television shows.
That's you're doing exactly the right thing. That's hard work. It's work requires a lot of discipline. You're learning a lot about the business. You are on a track, aren't you?
I both hope so. Thank you.
You're not lying down on the floor.
I'm not lying down on any floors.
Okay. Excuse me, Dan. You're not sitting on the floor.
I am at least a foot above the floor right now.
You're up on your feet. You're making tracks.
That's right.
You're buying headsets weeks before you need them.
Weeks, months.
Yeah, exactly. So you may not even know what you need a headset for, but you got one, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, Dan mentioned, and I'm asking you, Harry.
Yes.
Dan mentioned that he was doing some writing. What kind of writing does he do?
He actually does really excellent writing. He writes some short stories and some essays, mm-hmm. and I cannot speak highly enough of his writing.
And aside from putting his writing down on a typewriter and then using a mimeograph to make copies of it at the Kinko's and then throwing it down a well, what else is he doing to get his work out there in the world?
Well, he doesn't throw it down a well. What he did when he and Sammy were doing their zine book style was he would write essays and he would encourage his friends to write essays and he would, like you said, make copies of them and then he would hand them out at different punk shows that they would go to. And I'm not telling him that he needs to be, you know, Norman Mailer tomorrow, but the fact that he was writing and showing people his writing all the time was really awesome, and I really, really liked that.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think he stopped?
I think he stopped because he's feeling a little bit unmotivated lately. Because he's looking for work, and that's really depressing, and I can completely relate to that. But I think that, in particular, living at home is something that's become too much of a safety pad for him. Mm-hmm. I think there's not enough going on that's really scary to him that makes him motivated to do more exciting things.
Hold on. Something here doesn't ring true to me. You're saying that Dan has seemed unmotivated lately? That's just crazy.
So you think that he's living in the bosom of the socialist paradise of White Plains?
I wish the
safety net of his parents and European style soccer. He's in the hammock of the safety net, and he's not getting out.
I think that's right. He said that when he was working, he was writing more, and that's true. And I think that's because he hated his job so much, he was feeling more motivated to do things that that excited him and challenged him. And I think that he needs to do something like that again.
You're saying that if he moves to Los Angeles, he's going to break out of this cycle of hatred of his job and complete apathy about his life?
He may well hate his job out here too, but I do think that he'll break out of the cycle that he's in right now if he moves somewhere new.
Dan, what kind of writing would you do if you were going to be doing it?
Like Harry said, I guess I often start projects, or I think about starting things. I certainly did do some zine writing in essay form when I was working. So more of that. There was some music writing, some history writing.
Right. Specifically essays about
some short
table.
Stories. There was
yes,
Sammy and I each wrote a zine essay about Old Table.
Okay. I'm glad you guys are getting your friend's band's name into this podcast as much as possible. I wish you were as ambitious with your own careers as you seem to be for their careers. I will check them out. No, Sammy, you know what, Harry?
Yes.
I don't like your tone,
yes.
Harry, as usual. Sammy's got a job in a profession that she is interested in and has a measure of self-respect, and I'm guessing some presentable work clothes, right, Sammy?
Yes.
Did you have to go out and get some new blouses and such?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally professional attire these days.
Dan is the one who's stuck.
I wore a tie today.
Yeah, I see him a lot wearing a suit. He has a lot of interviews. He wears suits for those, or sometimes he wears like jeans to those. That happens sometimes.
That happened once.
Yeah, you try. Don't try to pretty up this picture, Sammy.
I won't.
Dan, your two best friends, Harry and Sammy. Harry wants you to move to LA because he thinks it's going to give you a boost. Sammy wants you to stay in White Plains, keep you near. And I don't think it's just because she wants to keep you down on the farm, but she's got other plans for you guys. Moving to New York City, living a crazy, glamorous life of a paralegal and a Planned Parenthood employee, just like in The Thin Man. But Dan, I think they both have a sense that something's not working in your life, right?
Yes.
Would you agree something's not working in your life?
Yes.
All right. So what do you think it's going to take to make you happy? Moving to LA, staying in White Plains, moving to New York, finally admitting to Sammy that you love her, running off with her to 1993 and making zines all day? What?
I think Harry said a minute ago.
I don't want to hear about what Harry said. I want you to answer my question. What
moving out of my parents' house would help to another place would help.
Because I want you to, and here's the thing. I think that you're stuck, right? Because maybe you're not totally being honest with yourself. And I need to know honestly what's going to make you happy before I decide what your fate is going to be. And I'll let you know that I have the soccer scores right here in front of me.
And oh, no.
I will reveal them to you.
You would not do that.
Did you hear me spoil season one of Game of Thrones a couple weeks ago? I will do it. I will take the heat from Twitter and the stares on the subway. I'm talking about the people staring at me, not the stairs on the subway, not climbing up the stairs.
Take them two at a time.
Yeah. I will take the people staring at me angrily on the subway for mysterious reasons. So I'm ready to go. So say it right out. Move out of your parents' house.
I need to get a job so that I can dislike it and thus want to write again.
Okay. Is that going to happen in White Plains?
It could. I am looking for jobs in New York.
In New York City.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not looking for jobs in White Plains. I worked here for like a year. Well, for 2 years. I worked here for a while over the last couple of years, and I think that I need to move from out of this town. I would agree.
Okay. And if you move to New York City, Sammy, what are you going to do?
It depends. It depends. I mean, there's talk of Dan and I moving to the Bronx, and then I could sort of commute to Westchester, and he could commute down. A lot of our friends live in the Bronx.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Is that something you could afford on that big Planned Parenthood salary?
Oh, I could, yeah. Uh-huh. Definitely in the Bronx. Parts of the Bronx.
Parts of the Bronx.
No one's moving to Manhattan, okay?
Well, that's for sure.
No one in their 20s is allowed to move to Manhattan unless they're the son of international royalty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Besides, you guys left cassette tapes and zines. You belong in Brooklyn. You don't even belong in Brooklyn. You belong in the new... You belong in the Brooklyn of Brooklyn, which is the Bronx.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right?
I mean, there's a chance that plan wouldn't happen and that Dan would get a job in New York and move to Brooklyn. He has a friend who lives in Sunset Park.
You have rose-tinted glasses on, Sammy. I'm not suggesting that Dan isn't capable of doing great things. If he weren't, I would imagine you wouldn't be unwilling to admit that you're in love with him. Sammy?
Yep.
You're not in love with Dan, right?
I am not in love with Dan.
Are you in love with Harry?
No.
Harry?
Yes.
Are you in love with Dan?
A little bit, honestly. It's something I've dealt with my whole life.
We've talked about it.
Is that for truths?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And are you a person who is attracted to other men sexually and as life partners?
Occasionally.
Okay. So you're also Mitt Romney's night terror.
That's very generous. Thank you.
So that's a whole other dimension to this. But you're comfortable just being pals with Dan? Are you in love with Harry? You want to be life partners with Harry?
I love Harry.
Of course. We all love Harry, even when I'm being mean to him. I adore that little guy.
I also love Sarah, his partner.
Yeah, of 6 years.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Harry. What are you doing to me here?
You know, it's 2012, man.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah,
but you weren't joking around with me before.
No, absolutely not.
You were, remember, because you're under fake oath.
I'm under fake oath, and I'm being sincere that I'm head over heels for my partner of 6 years. But since I've known Dan, I have off and on been very much in love with him in a romantic way.
So maybe you're not Mitt Romney's night terror. Maybe you're trying to practice polygamy in a whole new way.
A new, more mundane way, I guess.
You guys are so complicated, you kids.
We want to reclaim polygamy.
Yeah, we want to start a whole. Go ahead, Sam. What is it?
It's called polyamory now. That's what they call
it. It's true. Yeah, we don't believe in marriage, Your Honor.
There's a Slothware song about it.
Right. It's a whole new artisanal polygamy that we're working on in weird, undiscovered, reclaimed corners of the Bronx.
Yes.
Kids, I don't know if I can advise you. You guys are living on another planet in a terrible economy that I don't understand. Making zines at a time when you should not be making zines. You're like creatures out of time. Unfrozen cavemen standing before me in the shape of young Billy Crystal, Bruno Kirby, and Meg Ryan. Can I see across time and give you some advice that is going to be meaningful? Can I choose the fate of Dan? I will continue my internal monologue in my chambers, and I will come back with my decision.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Wow, this is so complicated. I don't even know where to begin. Yeah. But Dan, I'm going to start with you. Where do you think this thing is going to head?
I'm not sure. I think that the judge may be leaning towards the Bronx, but I don't know.
Sam, how are you feeling?
I feel pretty okay. I'm not sure I got to fully make my case, but I feel pretty confident.
Harry, how about you?
Well, I'm not optimistic about Dan's future in Los Angeles, but if Dan ends up doing something that makes him really happy, I'll be very happy.
That's nice. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom. I got nothing else, guys. This whole thing is such a web.
Well, welcome back to Young People's Court, where there are no laws. It's basically Barter Town in here. I don't know. All procedure has been thrown out the window, And you're all standing there weirdly in the nude, holding hands and and asking me to decide the fate of this young man, Dan. Here is what I want to say. There are some famous people who come from White Plains. One of them is Joseph Campbell. Do you know who Joseph Campbell is?
I didn't know he came from White Plains. The writer of the man with a thousand faces, something like that.
Hero with a thousand faces. That's
Hero
right,
with a thousand
Dan.
Faces.
Yeah. That's right, Dan. And I'm a little,
I haven't read it. I've heard about it.
I got to tell you, Harry, I'm a little disappointed that you did not jump all over that one. The one time you managed to keep your tongue. How can you, an aspiring television and media writer, not jump all over Joseph Campbell? The Hero with a Thousand Faces is the epitome of the screenplay structure cliche at this point.
It is,
of course, the structure of Star Wars, and yep. And it is now believed to be the only way a movie can be told. And even if you don't agree with that, which I don't, it still outlines what Joseph Campbell wrote about in Hero with a Thousand Faces, the monomyth, the story that all stories flow from, still outline an incredibly powerful story structure that begins with what? Come on, Harry, you must have taken a screenplay seminar at one point.
the main character needs to leave their comfortable environment.
The call to adventure, exactly.
Yeah.
The call to adventure, followed by receiving supernatural aid, followed by meeting with the goddess / atonement with the father, and then the return. Let's throw return out the window, because you're never gonna go back to White Plains, except for maybe, you know, holidays to atone with your father or whatever. And you aren't currently receiving supernatural aid from me. So far, so good. Now it is time to start the story with the call to adventure. You acknowledge that there's nothing for you in White Plains anymore, correct?
Yes.
You've tried your hardest to stay there. You've looked for jobs there. White Plains doesn't want you. It is rejecting you in every way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to make a jump out of that house. You're 25 years old. You got to get out of your parents' house. You got to heed the call to adventure. You've got Harry out there luring you out with the adventure of Los Angeles, but I have not heard any interest whatsoever in the world of Los Angeles. You have none. Is that correct?
We have Harry's there and several other friends. I'm interested in Los Angeles as an abstract adventure call, mm-hmm. I suppose.
If you were to do any sort of writing, you are not interested in writing for film or television, or are you?
I don't think so. Harry and I tried to do a little of that in the past, but I don't think so.
I think that you got to move to the Bronx. The adventure is there. The adventure is waiting for you in the Bronx. As is the goddess, the meeting with the goddess, Sammy. You are the goddess that he has to meet in the Bronx to fulfill the hero's journey. You got to fulfill your dream and get out of there and move to the Bronx or anywhere in New York City. Because there's one thing that's true. People think they might want to move to New York City. They got to give it a try. It's a miserable place to live in a lot of ways. And in many ways, it's like a terrible addiction because you get stuck here and then you can't afford to leave even if you wanted to. And for some people, it's a perfect place. And for some people, it's not. But if you feel a desire to move there, you have to do it. Otherwise, you're just going to live your life not ever having done it. And especially if you're living in White Plains and you don't really desire to live in White Plains anymore, you can't keep living there without giving it a try. Now's the time. You're in your 20s. You got to do it. Your two kids who are not in love, you got to move to New York together and see what happens. That's the hero's journey, at least in When Harry Met Sally. If you had aspirations, Dan, to any kind of
any kind.
Well, of any kind.
But I don't.
But to anything involving the cinematic arts or the televised arts, then I would suggest that you move to Los Angeles because that's where it happens. Harry and his girlfriend, her name is not Sally though, right, Harry?
Her name is Sarah. And we prefer the term partner.
Excuse me.
That's okay.
Harry and his other number live there, as well as some other friends. Soccer is watched there. It is sunny. It is nice. It probably will improve your temperament. And it is, frankly, cheaper to live in than where you are. But I think you did not express any particular interest in working in those fields. And to be in Los Angeles, unless you are in comedy or in music or in performance, or unless you have some other great job, if you're not interested in working in the entertainment industry, you kind of end up being a person without a country. Whereas New York is a multivalent place with vectors into lots and lots of different industries, career paths, nonprofits, and everything else that I think is a better place for you to sit around on the floor in and think about where you're going to go next. But I know one floor is not appropriate for you, and that is the floor of your parents' house. And Sammy, you made this case to keep him on the East Coast, and you're the one with a job. So you are the one that I am charging with getting him out of that house and down to an apartment in the Bronx, which you guys are going to share chastely. Because I think that would be amusing. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules. That is all.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. So, Dan, I guess the question is for you. How do you feel about Judge John Hodgman's decision?
I feel like it was very judicial. I think that plenty of people are sentenced to the Bronx. There are prisons there, I think. And and I am honored to be among them.
Do you think this is going to change your life?
A mutual friend of ours, I was driving him around the Bronx at night once and without a map, and Harry, you know the story. And I told him that I had knowledge of the Bronx and that I was able to drive him. And he said that knowledge of the Bronx was a tragic knowledge. And so, so I think it's good.
The fact that you told that story means you will never live in Los Angeles. that is some deep zine grade hard ass poetry.
Thank you.
I don't think you would survive in a happy place.
Sammy, how are you feeling?
I feel pretty good. I feel like now Dan maybe can move on to the next chapter in his life. And the best reason for me and Dan not to ever date is that now John Hodgman would be saying, "I told you so." So that's good too.
Harry, how are you feeling?
I agree with Sammy. I'm happy that Dan's going to be doing the next thing. And I hope that he comes to visit me more frequently than he has so far.
Very well. Well, all three of you, thank you for joining us on Judge John Hodgman. Judge Hodgman, I have to say that the main difference between experiencing that case and watching an episode of Girls is that that case didn't have any weirdly emotionally fraught sex scenes.
I'm sorry, Jesse, I wasn't paying attention. I was just dipping these tampons into vodka in order to shove them into my every orifice so I could keep the party rolling all night long. Because I read that that's what kids do on the internet.
Can we please just clear the docket?
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of TripleClick.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
We're getting out of control. Here's something from Tony. I have a dispute with my work colleague and good friend Chris, who is obsessed with making puns and double entendres. He can't seem to go for an hour without slipping one in, as it were. While recruiting recently, he wanted to hire one applicant simply because his name was Yu, as it would give Chris hours of amusement. I seek a ruling that Chris be limited to only playing on words during his personal time rather than at work. We're stuck in the lawless wastelands of Australia, and we need some hard Bush-style justice. That's Bush of the Australian Bush,
like
I think.
The Outback.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jesse, I understand that there is an allure to puns, but I wish people would resist it. You may know that for the jacket of my book, I required a ferret skeleton for a photo shoot of the Chateau Marmont, and I sent a message out over Twitter. If anyone out there has access to a ferret skeleton and can get it to the Chateau Marmont by June 3rd, let me know. Not a joke. And even though I said not a joke, I got this reply. Are you sure you don't mean the Chateau Marmot? I got that pun almost 100 times from 100 different individuals all over the country simultaneously, like their brain had been infected with this terrible, terrible pun. Made me so mad. Marmot isn't anything like a ferret. They're not even from the same order. Jesse, you know a marmot's a rodent, rodentia. Ferret carnivora. All that pun did was enrage me, and it did not get me any closer to my ferret skeleton, which I then had to order Buzz Market from Skulls Unlimited in Oklahoma City, your one-stop shop for articulated ferret skeletons and other skeletons that you might need. Puns are placeholders for jokes. They are not jokes. They show that you have a facility for language. I'll grant you that. But jokes are stories. They have a little bit of a beginning, a middle, and an end. A pun is just a dumb vocabulary puzzle. A pun is like boggle, whereas a joke is a thing of beauty and elegance, like Scrabble. So please, take it easy with the puns. Double entendres, also non-jokes. Because they can be funny in that they point towards taboo acts, and humor often proceeds from contemplation of the taboo. But because double entendres all point to the same small repertoire of taboo acts, they essentially are relying on innuendo instead of actual joke making. In other words, as long as it points to the same dumb act, it doesn't need to be particularly imaginative, or that's what she said. I am happy to rule against your pun-happy, innuendo-happy coworker and tell him to keep it to himself. Because for those reasons, and for a third very important reason, that if he begins hiring people solely for the point of making fun of their name, because it will suit one of his dumb puns, then that is an addiction that has gone too far. And if the person that he hires for this reason is named Yu, Y-U, and is presumably an Asian person, he is going to seem like a racist and then be fired from his job. So please, Australians, ease up on the puns. Jesse, do you have anything else you want to talk about here on the Judge John Hodgman podcast?
I want to suggest that people listen to my informative interviews with folks in the arts and culture on my Smash It public radio program, Bullseye, with Jesse Thorne. Culture recommendations, in-depth interviews, comedy, all kinds of fun stuff. You can find it in iTunes or online at MaximumFun.org. One recent interview that a lot of people enjoyed was my interview with Ice-T about his movie Something from Nothing, The Art of Rap. It turns out that the reason Ice-T is famous is because he is the most charismatic person ever. Anyway, go to MaximumFun.org or subscribe in iTunes. Bullseye with me, Jesse Thorne.
And hey, Jesse.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Of course.
Look, by the time this thing airs, it's going to be the dead of summer. Everyone's going to be really hot. You're going to be tired. and they're going to be looking for some good news. And I don't know if this is going to make anyone feel any better, but I just want to say that yesterday we finished recording the audiobook of That Is All. A lot of people on Twitter have been asking me about it. Was it ever going to get done? And I accept your ironic slow clap, Jesse, because it was a lot of fun to make. I think it's going to be really good. And we're putting it all together now. And it's got some amazing guests, some old guests from last time, like Dick Cavett and Rachel Maddow, some new guests, including some surprises, let's just say. And it's going to come out soon. And I appreciate your patience, everybody. And I'm really glad you kept the pressure on for me to do it. And I'm really glad that it came together the way it did. And I hope you will like it. It'll come out in October. And with the paperback of That Is All. But I just wanted to let everyone know, because if you guys are using headsets, podcasts, car stereos to listen to things, you might be listening to other things. You might be among the people who wondered, when was he ever going to get it done? Well, I got it done. And thank you for your patience.
If you want to submit a case for Judge John Hodgman, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHo. Do it. Convince someone at your office to do it. How about that? How about convince somebody traveling through town with a circus or carnival to do it? As long as someone goes to MaximumFun.org/JJHo and submits a great case for Judge John Hodgman. We'll talk to you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Goodbye.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is a production of MaximumFun.org. Our special thanks to all of the folks who donate to support the show and all of our shows at MaximumFun.org/donate. The show is produced by Julia Smith and me, Jesse Thorne, and edited by Mark McConville. You can check out his podcast, Super Ego, in iTunes or online at GoSuperEgo.com. You can find John Hodgman online at AreasOfMyExpertise.com. If you have a case for Judge John Hodgman, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. If you have thoughts about the show, join the conversation on our forum at forum.MaximumFun.org and our Facebook group at Facebook.com/Judge John Hodgman. We'll see you online and next time right here on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.